Amen. You may be seated. I know I say this a lot, and I embarrass Brandon when I do, but do you guys remember when he was just a young little punk? Man, I'm telling you. I'm proud of him. Years ago, I told him, I handed him a cheap electric. Man, it was a cheap electric guitar. I said, yeah, yes. That's the funniest thing. I was given it as a gift, and it was at an auction, and it was signed. A friend of mine gave it to me, and I appreciate his generosity. It was signed by Michael W. Smith. Well, those of you know, I've gotten a guitar here, a guitar, and it's signed by Michael W. Smith. He's a piano guy. I'm not sure what that meant, but anyway, that guitar, by the way, is being used this morning in Tracy, because Paul Rodriguez broke a string, came by here, hey, can I borrow a guitar? There it is, right there, so it's still being used, but man, Brandon, I just appreciate so much the way God has just continued to work in his life, and soon going to be a daddy. I mean, we're talking, yeah. I mean, we're talking days away. We all had, at least I had the prayer. I told Kelly, give that thing an eviction notice, you know, get it out. But then as of this week, I said, wait, no eviction notice until after Sunday because Brandon's on. He has to lead for Paul. We're so glad you're with us today. I was asked a question this morning about the three ways to give. You can give through the boxes that we have here. You can give online, and you can give by text. And there's flyers out there. You can know how to do that. Many have taken up with text. Many have done online. And the question was, online, can you specify if you want to go to a certain place or a certain ministry? Yes, you can. There's a place for it to specify. But most of all, thank you for giving. Thank you for being so faithful in your giving. We appreciate that. You're so faithful, and there's just something that you can't beat, and that's generosity. We looked at the fact that man, God just keeps, if you water, last week we looked at, when you water, God waters you. And that's just the way it is. We're in the second week of a series on Proverbs, at the principles from Proverbs. You ask again, why Proverbs? Why here? We've talked about the great adventure of knowing Jesus, of keeping the gospel the main thing, not getting all sidetracked on all the other stuff that's out there. We talked about living the great adventure of living for Jesus in this world. And how do you do that? When you walk outside these gates, these doors, these steps, what do you do? But within that also, not only how do you do that, but Proverbs was given us because it is the foundation for right living. Proverbs isn't nearly as focused on heaven as much of the narrative of the word is. It's not about heaven, though we know that that's ultimately where we're going to be, and ultimately God's won the victory and we're going to be there. But Proverbs is written so that we right here might have an ability to live with right living right now. And it's important that he gives us that. We can't live our life just in this little bubble or in this little sanctuary. We must live in the world. We are in the world. So within that, how do we go within that and to live wisely and to live within that? Now, Proverbs was designed just for that reason. Proverbs was designed to equip the reader in practical wisdom, to give discernment, to give discipline and use discretion. And so Proverbs was for us. It's for right now. It's really for right now. And that's the beauty of the living word. The living word was alive back then, and it's alive right now to give us insight into how we live this day. Now, what are Proverbs? Proverbs are short, observant statements declaring profound truths that give wisdom for life. They're short, observant statements. Now, I'm not going to bore you as we did last week with the different types. There's a comparative, a contrastive, a competitive, different statements. We're not going to go through all that. We did that. But these statements in different forms in wisdom literature, they're declaring profound truths that give wisdom for life. Now, remember, we looked at these. These are not to be considered promises. You can't take all of Proverbs and say it's a promise unless it declares the truth about God himself. Now, if it says through this that God is, that's going to be a promise. That's what God says. It's about himself. But this book speaks of wisdom. Wisdom to live in this world, to be in this world, not just focusing on heaven, but wisdom for the here and now. And boy, sometimes we need that, don't we? I mean, doesn't today, especially, of all days, of all generations, we need wisdom to choose correctly, wisdom to see what God has for us. Wisdom is not the same as common sense. Well, some people need common sense, but, you know, it's kind of like, okay, if it's cold, I put on a coat. If it's raining, I take an umbrella. There's common sense issues. Don't touch the burner, you know, do different things. There's common sense. But common sense doesn't have a spiritual component. And the wisdom of Proverbs is really godly wisdom. It's godly wisdom having the ability to cope with life in a God-honoring manner. Now, look at that, the depth of that statement. Having the ability to cope with whatever comes in our way in a God-honoring manner. That is our goal, to live in this world bringing honor and glory to God in our approach and in our responses. Now, sometimes in our approach, most of us can handle our approach, can we not? If we're going to address something, we think it through, we talk it through, we're in our head, we may even pray about it, God, help me to go in love. And so we try to do that well, mostly. There are some people who just don't. They don't care. But most of the time, we try to be the initiator in our approach and use wisdom and use love, do we not? However, that's not what I find the difficult thing to do. The most difficult thing to do is not by the initiation that I'm going to initiate, but by the response that I got to then give if you initiate with me. If you're going to say something, or life just all of a sudden goes to pieces, or if the cup of my life is shaken and squished, whatever spills out, if I'm controlling my cup, this has, of course, a lid and a straw. If I'm controlling this, and it's easier with a lid on it, but I can control this, it's not going anywhere. I'm in control of it. But when I'm sitting back there, and Miss Candy over here with her, I was going to say big feet, I won't say that, very tiny feet, she gets all, you know, she gets moving with that guitar, she'll knock this over. Now, fortunately, this has a lid, and it doesn't leak too much. But when the cup of our life is that way, when I'm initiating, I can respond. Right? I mean, I can do this, and I can be kind, courteous, gracious. But when you come along and knock the cup of my life, and out of it comes stuff, what comes out of my cup of life at that point probably really determines the depth of my spiritual thinking, the depth of my spiritual maturity. Are you with me? When I can't control what's coming out, all of a sudden that first response, woohoo, boy, I am perfect in my first responses all the time. Not so. Hey, why are you guys laughing? Some of you know I'm not perfect in my first responses. I'm glad to know you're not either. So the reality is that we want to cope with life in a God-honoring manner. And that deals with our responses. How do we respond? And that's where godly wisdom really comes into play. Not just common sense, and surely not as the wisdom of the world, but how do we respond in a godly fashion? That's our goal, to respond differently than the natural response would be. We have a natural response, do we not? That natural response, that you don't have any right to say that, or revenge, or anger, and I'm going to, you know, I'll, like I said last week, I'll give you a piece of my mind. Some of you didn't catch it last week. It was a joke. You asked me what I was talking about. I said, you want to give them a piece of your mind? And I would say, don't. You don't have much to spare. That was a joke, guys. Figure it out, okay? Somebody said, what does that mean? Okay, it was a joke. But the reality is we respond in the natural world, don't we? You don't have a right to say that. I have people say, you don't have a right to say that. And you don't have a right to treat me that way. And we stand up for our rights. We stand up for who we are. And man, we just respond in that way. But we're to respond differently than the natural, worldly, fleshly man would respond. 2 Corinthians says we're a new creation. When you give your life to trust in Jesus, when you realize you're a sinner in need of a Savior and you trust in Him, it says you're a new creation. You are forgiven, justified, redeemed, declared righteous. So now live as who you are. You're a new creation. And part of that is learning to respond correctly. I mean, I was watching, you know, I don't watch much news. People get like, did you see this? No, I'm tired of it. I mean, we've gotten now to where our politicians drop the F-bomb and they do all these things. And they go, oh, that's our leadership? Oh, come on. But regardless, that's the way of the world. That's the natural way. We're to be different. We're not ashamed to say, I am a Christian and I'm going to do this and be this way. But in our life and our response, now listen, there's something to respond differently than the natural response. But some of you have gotten this down and some of you have not. Here's what you've gotten down. You've gotten down to respond visibly to them in the right way. You bite your tongue, that may be the wisest thing to do. You may be quiet, or you may be your words seasoned with grace and love, but internally and emotionally, you're on fire. You're angry. And so you've got the action down, but you haven't gotten the attitude of what God wants to do in us. And boy, some of you walk around in stress and anxiety because, man, you'd like to tell people a lot of different things, but you're not. I'm going to be godly. But inside, you're just torn up. And God says, I want to give you a peace that the world will never understand. And when you understand it, you can respond differently than this world does. So we respond not only verbally or physically to these people, but in our own spirit, we say, God, I have no rights. I died to self. I want you to take my anxiety and my drama, and I want you just to put it in the perspective of your filter. Now, Proverbs is written, we looked at, for gaining wisdom. That's the purpose of it. He writes Proverbs for gaining wisdom. to see understanding and insight, that we would understand not just knowledge, but we would know how to use the knowledge that we have, that we would see an insight of what God has to say. He gives us instruction for wise behavior, that we see wise behavior taking place. First nine chapters of Proverbs is really giving instruction to the young, giving insight to the young. You know, I realize the young, we say now, we can try to tell them, and we try to tell our kids and our grandkids. Unfortunately, most learn by doing, and doing by a mistake at times as well. Isn't that true? But Proverbs is saying to the young, he's addressing it to the young. Solomon's saying, listen, pay attention. Don't approach your youth as just, I can do what I want to do. Don't approach your youth as, well, I'll just try anything. I'll experiment with anything. No, make a wise spiritual plan, giving insight to the young. Then he also says, we're there for continued learning and discernment. That we should all, no matter what our age, that we should continue to learn what God has to say. That we continue to learn, that we continue and have discernment into the things that people, that things float by. When we're in the Word, we would know the wrong doctrine. We would know when things just don't smell right. There's something wrong, but it just doesn't seem right. My detector's going off, and there's something wrong with this. And God gives us discernment. Is this what we should be doing? Proverbs 1:7 is probably the key to much of this, to much of the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but foolish despise wisdom. But the fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fools despise it. It talks about the fear of the Lord. Listen, the fear of the Lord. We looked at it briefly last week. The fear of the Lord, having that awesome reverence and respect for who God is. So as his people, if we are his people, and that's an operative word there, because those who don't know him, who don't claim to know him, they seem to have no fear of God, no reverence. But as his people, we have a reverence for who God is. And we have an understanding of who God is. Listen, God is the creator of the universe, the almighty God. He's not some wimp factor. He's not just the crutch, man. He's the entire cot. He's not a crutch I lean on. He is the cot that's going to carry me. He is that bed that's going to lift me up. He is everything we need to depend on and believe in. The creator of the universe, who created everything, who wants and desires to have an intimate relationship with you and with me. But we have to believe that, as Solomon said, God is the God, man, over and over and over. He talks about this, who God is. Psalms talks about the majesty of God. You need to understand that God is an all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipresent God, that he's not some weak little thing that you're trusting in. The question is, do you trust that God? Do you trust that God is strong enough to meet your need? Do you trust that God is strong enough and wise enough and will fulfill the promises that he gives? Or do we say, God, I know who you said, and I know this is the way I'm supposed to go, but I just don't know that your ways are best. As his people, we serve him. As his people, we serve him. We serve because we love him, because he first loved us. There's people who are served. We need more people to serve. We need people to nurse. We need people to help. As his people, we serve not out of guilt, not a motivation of fear, but out of love. As his people, we worship him. We came this morning, but this is a corporate worship. But every day we should get up and say, God, today I want to glorify you. I want to worship you. Worship you for who you are and what you've done. I'm going to serve you today. My worship will be today, not just on Sundays as we come together. That I worship him in everything that I do and everything that we say, that we consider him. As his people, we consider him. You want to know what walking by faith is? There it is right there. That in every step we take, we consider God. God, what would you have me do in this situation? God, how would you want me to respond to this situation? Do we even stop to think, God, is there someone that I could be used in this situation? Is there someone that I can share my faith with someone in this situation? Do we even stop and consider what God's impact may have in that situation? Whether it be at the 7-Eleven, whether it be at Quick Stop, whether it be at Raley's, wherever it may be, God, is there some way you can use me in this situation? Do I even consider that? As his people, we know love, and therefore we have the ability to love others the way he does. We know love because he's given us his love. He's forgiven us, that unconditional love. But within that, we now have the ability to love others. In our life group, there was a question that we debated, and we walked around it. Can the unbeliever, a person who doesn't know Christ, love the same way a believer does? The answer is no. God is love. There's a spiritual component that we are to love the way he loves. If they don't have the life within him, they cannot love. There's a spiritual component to love that the world who do not know Christ do not have. That if we know Christ, we have that love. We are to demonstrate that love. It should exude from our pores. It should be seen in our life. The love that he gives us when we realize, I have a sign in my office, it's difficult to love and to forgive those who sin differently than we do. Right? Boy, if their faults are the same as mine, it's easy to forgive and to love them. But if they sin differently than we do, we have a little judgment, a little barrier going up there. Listen, we love. You've heard me say often that the fact we talk about to love the unlovely, you don't find that in the Word. The ones who make them unlovely are you and me. We make people unlovely. God doesn't. We're to love every person. We're to demonstrate that love. The person of wisdom in this passage, chapter 1, verse 20, there's a person of wisdom here. Out in the open wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. In this passage, wisdom is given a personal form. It's she. In theology, it's known as Lady Wisdom. You'll even see that in the word Lady Wisdom. It's given a person so you can wrap your eyes around this issue over this Lady Wisdom. And Lady Wisdom tells us that wisdom can be found, verses 20 and 21. It talks about that wisdom can be found. She raises her voices. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. She is not shy. She is not quiet. It means that this issue is she wants to be heard. Wisdom wants to be addressed to our life. This is not a game of hide and seek. It's not like saying, okay, God wants you to have his wisdom, but you're going to have to go search for it. No, he says, I want you to know this wisdom. She's crying out. The question is, do we seek godly wisdom? Do we listen? Do we stop long enough in situations to pray and consider God? She wants wisdom to be found. Lady Wisdom, God says, you need to have, seek it, pursue it, to see the godly wisdom so that you can live this life in a godly fashion. Wisdom can be found. Wisdom can also be ignored. Verses 24 and 25. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke. Okay, but since, there's going to be a then. Not right yet, but since you've refused to listen, wisdom can be ignored. She is not quiet. It's calling out to us, but we can ignore wisdom. We can choose our own wisdom, which we often do. We can seek our own way, which we often do. We can follow others who may sound convincing, but do not speak of the truth. We know the wisdom because we're in the Word. We have insight because the Spirit of truth within us, the Spirit of God dwelling within us, illumines us to the truth to give us discernment. But we can ignore God's wisdom. We can know, God, this is not wise what I'm doing, but we will choose to seek our own way. It talks about those who ignore. We go back a verse into chapter 1, verse 22. It talks about, how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? He gives three groups of people there. The simple, the word there is actually the naive. They lack discernment. They're easily enchanted by the latest and greatest. They have no depth. They have no depth to their life. They just kind of blow, tossing around the wind. The simple, the naive, they just forget it. They don't even pay attention. It talks about the mocker, the skeptic, the cynic. Man, those people oppose everything that doesn't fit into their worldview or their box. Their ideas are the most important. Man, we know cynics, don't we? Skeptics, mockers, who mock the things of God. Just turn on the TV. That's all you got to do. And in the last days, it says, as we approach heaven, that more and more, there are going to be more mockers, more cynics, more people who say, wow, that's rubbish. And the last group he talks about are the fool. Now, we think of the fool as one who lacks intelligence. But that's not this in the biblical sense. It's the one who can reason, but who reasons incorrectly. It's the one maybe who knows it all and will choose his own way. The fool in his heart has said there is no God. Why? Because he's his own God. I don't need God. I'm my own God. To ignore wisdom brings consequences. One writer put it in a great visual form. the consequences. If we feast on the world's artificially sweetened advice, we can expect some heartburn. You with me? Let me read it again. If we feast on the world's artificially sweetened advice, we can expect some heartburn. The passage goes on. Since you failed to listen, he speaks of the calamity that we bring upon ourselves by not living by God's wisdom. The calamity that befalls us when God says, if you do this, we need to have insight to say the possible consequences of this action are. We need to see the possible consequences and then change and to live accordingly. Because it says wisdom can save you. Verses chapter 1, verse 33, he talks about, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Now, obviously, remember, it's not a promise, it's a principle. But when we live in the wisdom of knowing God, when we live in the wisdom and honoring God, that when we listen and live in that safety of that, there's a certain safety that comes to peace with that. We don't live in fear of the consequences of reaping what we've sown to the flesh. So what? Refuse to listen? Some do. Some refuse to listen. You see it in the Bible. It's the same word used to describe Pharaoh's heart when he continually refused to listen to God's command to release his people from bondage. He refused to listen. Even though God brought things in, he refused to listen. And as we approach Proverbs with godly wisdom, we can read it every day, we can study it, but if we refuse to listen to what God is saying, we're no better off than Pharaoh. Some are distracted by self. Man, that's the hardest animal to kill, isn't it? Self. Because the world is 180 degrees different than what God says. I talked last week about a counseling situation I had where the person was saying, I need to be a better self-promoter. And I would say that's not found in the Word. You don't need to be a self-promoter. You need to be a Christ promoter, and you need to be a humble person serving. See, the world says you're going to get someplace in your business by being a self-promoter. You're going to get someplace, man, you're going to make the list of the richest or the best or drive that by being a self-promoter. And God says, no, you be a Christ promoter, loving people the way he does. Some are defensive to change. They just don't want to change. But I'm used to this. But you don't understand, they'll say. Or I don't deserve this. I heard that this week. I don't deserve this. Okay. I didn't know there was a promise for life to be easy or fair or without pain. But I don't deserve this. We could all say that in some area of our life, couldn't we? Where we start to feel sorry for ourselves. Godly wisdom brings change. You know I hate these next words. You know if you're in my office and you lay them out, I'm going to lay you out. In love. Because some of you will look and say, that's just the way I am. And those words should never come out of a believer's mouth. It should be, that's just the way I was. But God's making me who I am. There's some hated words. The hated words, we hate them. I hate them. Those words are, I told you so. Our kids hate that, don't they? We say, you better not do that. Better not do that. They do it. Then all of a sudden, life goes bad. They don't want to hear it. I told you so. And most of the time, we keep our mouth shut. But some people share that word. I told you. I told you. But there's even more hated words. There's one group I think that are even the most hated words. And that is, I know you told me. Because you recognize it yourself. You recognize it yourself that you say, I know you told me, but I did what I wanted to do. God wants us to have his wisdom. We need to listen. Let's listen. Let's learn. Let's live with a desire to honor God, to respond with godly wisdom. May we listen and come alive with his word. So when you say, God, what do you want me to do today as you walk out of these doors? Who do you want me to share with? What are those things that may come into my life? Your world may fall apart tomorrow. How to respond in godly wisdom. Now listen, I thought of this because that analogy of if you live on artificially sweetened advice, you may get heartburn. God's wisdom is not Alka-Seltzer. God's wisdom isn't a plop, plop, fizz, fizz, take it and everything's better. It takes determination. It takes listening. It takes practice. It takes work. It's building that faith walk that says, God, I trust in you. I'm going to exercise your wisdom. I'm going to exercise and respond in a godly manner and listen to your word. That's our goal. Let's pray.